long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. There's a new Star Wars show on today. High Republic Jedi and Star Wars Kung Fu. Better get ready, cause it's coming for you. This show has witches and even
Star Wars fans and Moof Milkers everywhere. Welcome to episode number 407 of Blast Points. This is Jason.
And this is Gabe.
We are talking about The Acolyte, episode number 6, titled Teach Corrupt. We're back to the word slash one word because the twins are separated again, right? Is that the theory?
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because, like, when they were together, it was one word, or maybe the episodes when, like, they're put together, like when episode 3 and episode 7 are put together, maybe it'll be, like, a two-word thing. I don't know. But it's Teach Corrupt, and things get hot in this episode. Things get steamy in this episode.
Yeah. There's a lot of water in this episode to keep things cool. Otherwise, the episode would evaporate. It would look like the sandstorm scene in Return of the Jedi because there'd just be dust everywhere. So they need the water to chill it all out.
We all knew how George Lucas said, dare to be cute, but not many people know. He also said, dare to be sexy.
Dare to be
sexy. Linda Ronstadt knew that.
1983 Lucas with the shirt unbuttoned and the big hair and the big Wolfman Jack beard.
Riding a horse around Skywalker Ranch.
Going in and practicing his guitar in his downtime. This episode, too, is The Last Jedi calling up Acolyte. They're having a good talk. It's a lot of Last Jedi, which... It started out right away, and it's like, oh, man, that sure looks like the Achu planet. And then it's like, I didn't think that the Last Jedi vibes would be going through the whole thing, but it did. But it kind of makes me, it makes me feel good, because it's kind of like we've gotten to the point where a Star Wars TV show is just like, you know what? This episode is a big riff on The Last Jedi.
Yeah, because you know what? People love The Last Jedi.
They do.
They really do, yeah. That's not a joke. People really love it. And people really love The Acolyte. So it's kind of a perfect match.
Yeah, it's peanut butter and chocolate. The two went really well together. But it is like The Last Jedi, but it's also not. But it is, but it isn't. It's a flip, as we're going to be talking about. It's like last week was almost all action. And now this week was all character development. All characters. We're down basically to what, 4 main characters. It's kind of all we have left. And the Acolyte at this point is just digging into like who they are, what they're doing. And I'm into it.
Yeah, because last week, by the end of the episode, it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. The twins are flipping who they're with. They're with each other's masters. Like, how is that going to go down? And it was cool. It was really interesting. And yeah, this week was almost like the dessert after last week's really intense meal. Like, it's just like a little cup of sorbet. Just kind of eat slowly while you regain your composure.
I was almost thinking it was like an after dinner brandy or something. Like if somebody's really fancy, you know, like do people have like a glass of whiskey after they eat dinner or something? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's much fancier than my my little cup of sorbet.
Sorbet is pretty fancy, though. Like, you put some raspberries in it or something, it could get real fancy.
It's like the party where you bring out the sorbet because you think it's fancy, but then you realize everybody's naked. Like, maybe we need the stronger stuff.
Maybe.
That was this week's episode. You showed up with some sorbet, and everybody was naked.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut. There is no password. Like, oh, I thought I was just going to a party. I didn't know it was going to be like this. No, in this show, it's exploring the aspects of what is the light side, what is the dark side, the good, the bad, and both. We say it every week, but it's a show told from the Sith perspective, of dark side of the Force perspective. And this episode, like, the more you think about it, the more you watch it, and you think about Last Jedi and this episode, it's kind of the Sith version of Last Jedi, but with more deep and heavy and sexy and steamy stuff in it. Where it's almost like if a Sith or dark side of the Force user watched The Last Jedi and was like, you know, you could have had a lot more of shirtless Kylo Ren. You could have taken that farther.
Right. He was only half naked. This is only 50% of what it could be. No, but it's true. And I think what's really cool too with the series overall too is, like, Sol was our favorite character, but at this point it's almost like, wait, Chimer's pretty cool. Like, and he seems to be more honest than Sol, who seemed so honest before, that the show is doing a good job of kind of, yeah, making this where the Sith are kind of the heroes of the story and kind of bringing you along with them. Like, even though he killed all of our favorites last week, by the end of this episode, you're like, you know, he seems kind of into what he's saying. Like, he's not really saying anything that seems wrong.
See, I'm not falling for his tricks. we're gonna talk about it as the episode goes on, because it is, yeah, like, it's the Sith show, and it's, hey, the Sith aren't that bad. Here's where we're coming from, the show. Or are we? Because we've seen, there's a lot in this episode that goes back to other stuff, not just The Last Jedi. It's a lot of Last Jedi, but there's a lot in this episode that reminded me of Revenge of the Sith. But we're going to get into that. And one thing before we get started, though, before we start getting into the chunky bits and breaking it all down, as hot and steamy as this episode was, there's also little alien bird creatures that look like the Captain EO Hooter elephant as a baby. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, and also, Acolyte continues to know what it means to be Star Wars. And even though this is a super serious, character driven, dramatic, erotic space fantasy, it knows that Basil is a star and Basil hasn't got to do kung fu yet. So it has that going for it as well.
There's little baby bird elephant blob things on the beach. And yeah, and there's a little, like, a little hedgehog wearing, like, his little captain's flight suit hat thing and doing little kung fu spinning in place, yeah, and stomping on May's foot.
It's got it all. But yeah, those little, the little bird, lizard, duck creature things that are, what are they called? Skura?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't make its way right away almost. It was like the first scene, right, when Osha wakes up and you're like, I don't know what's going on. And then there's like one just hanging out in the hallway, letting you know this is some Star Wars.
The part when they show the family and they're like all like snuggling together, like rubbing their noses together and stuff, I was just like, oh, shut up. Just stop right now. And there's a little baby one. Like, they're cute on their own, but yeah, there's a little baby. There's a little baby Skura.
Acolyte knows. Is this our second baby so far in Acolyte? The power of two. We got two babies. Maybe by the end of the season, there'll be the power of many. Space babies.
We started the year of Blast Points with Star Wars is about babies. Babies are about Star Wars. And if anything, the accolade has just proven our point that Star Wars is about babies.
Yeah. It's been a good run for babies.
So let's get into the chunky bits. Osha wakes up in a bed again. That running theme that was going on in so many episodes in the beginning. I thought when she woke up originally that she was in Kalnaka's place. Did you think that? Did you know like where she is? I was like, oh, she's still on the planet. She's in Kalnaka's.
No, I knew she was somewhere new. I didn't know where she was, but I could tell it was something new. But I think I was just thinking about, oh, this is cool. This is like when she woke up in the first episode with the tilting camera thing. So by the time I got done thinking that, you could kind of see where she was.
She's all bandaged up. There's some soup cooking, just like in Yoda's hut. It's all nice and cozy in there. Yeah, she sees the little alien bird and what she sees May's clothes. And then the camera backs up to show she is on an island planet that sure as heck looked a lot like the Achu planet, but it's not. Leslie Headland said in an interview that it's just unknown planet for now.
Which she could be lying because it is the season's not over yet, but also it's still, there's no reason. Yeah, it couldn't be another planet. And it is almost like we were talking about where it's almost like if Akchu was like the light side Jedi temple planet. Maybe this is like the dark side Jedi temple or the dark side Sith planet or something. It's like a kind of similar but different version of the same sort of thing.
Because what Chimer has made his little home at like the bottom of like what looks like a cortosis vein in that mountain. So that's where he's getting the cortosis from. And a lot of people were checking Wikipedia last night and today, talking about the planet balsamic vinaigrette, because that was in the Darth Plagueis book. And what the description from Wikipedia is an ocean planet adorned with rocky tropical islands. It's in the Outer Rim. And late in the planet's history, veins of rich cortosis ore were discovered on the planet's surface. And there's all kinds of business that went down, like subtext mining provided Dark Lord of the Sith, Dark Tenebris, with his apprentice Darth Plagueis, the Sith Lord's mining cortosis, and all this stuff that was going on there. So it could be Planet Balsamic Vinaigrette. But if it is, why not just say that? Here's my thought. Maybe, like, they considered calling it Balsamic Vinaigrette on the screen. But if this is like what you were saying, the Sith version of Achu, is it something that maybe could show up in the Mangold movie?
That's true. Well, or just it's a kind of a cool idea, too, of if the Jedi don't know about it, then there isn't a name for it because the Jedi are the ones naming everything. It's like it's not in the archives, so they wouldn't know what to call it. So we as the viewers don't know what it's called.
Yeah, it's unknown planet because at this time nobody knows where it is or what it is. Like you have to know, you have to be a Sith or a dark side user to know where it is. It's secret maps or something. And a lot of people were talking about that because it is mysterious, because it looks like a chew. And it does kind of line up with the descriptions of balsamic vinaigrette. But it's almost like it doesn't matter because visually it reminds you of The Last Jedi. If you've seen The Last Jedi, there's no way you watch these scenes and it mentally puts you in the mode of, oh, this is just like The Last Jedi. I remember what happened in that movie. Like there's even, you know, the little bird aliens that they're not porgs, but they're kind of like porgs. They almost sound like porgs. They're doing what stuff porgs did. Luke in The Last Jedi was go away. I don't want you here. Chimer is the exact opposite, where he is like walking towards the water the first time Osha sees him. And when she catches up with him, it's very much just like, yeah, go ahead, pick up that lightsaber, hang out. We're just having a good time here.
Yeah, well, and it's fun watching too, because it is very similar to the, you know, because, yeah, Luke wants Rey to leave, but Rey won't leave, so she's following him around the island and coming across Luke doing outrageous things like spearfishing. And then this one, yeah, Chimer wants her to follow him, and he's doing outrageous things like swimming naked.
Dared to be
sexy.
Before we get to their naked conversation, we cut back to Sol, and he takes off from Kofar and is trying to call emergency code 0 to the Jedi Temple. And what Mei is sneaking around and hearing flashbacks from the past when Endara tested her, and Basil is following around, sniffing around.
I hope it becomes a thing for just Star Wars going forward, that there's always an alien like Basil just sneaking around in the background. It doesn't even have to be part of the show or a character on the show, but just there sneaking around in the background. Because I'm so used to it now. I'll miss it.
Well, the last two episodes, yeah, Basil has just like suddenly appeared. Which some the main character will go by, then there's Basil just like following them around sniffing. Yeah, just put Basil in everything. Skeleton crew should have Basil in every single shot, just sniffing around.
But Sol is a wreck, basically. He is not doing so well after last episode.
Yeah, he goes to reset the transceiver. And this is, I thought this was a brilliant acting moment from JJ, because it's without words, anger, acceptance, determination. You can read a ton into just this nonverbal acting that he's doing. Of just looking off camera, there's the one part where he kind of slams his arm down a little bit. It was just really, really great.
Well, and it's also it does a good job, too, of kind of showing, you know, the contrast with Chimer of, like, how repressed the Jedi are, because they're not supposed to have emotions, or at least not they're supposed to control their emotions. So it's like he kind of has his moment when he knows no one can see him, like the computer's basically off and he's like getting all his emotions out before he has to maybe talk to people. He's like packing them all away because he's got to be his like calm, cool Jedi.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, Attack of the Clones, and, you know, after Anakin comes back and is confessing to Padme what he did. And he's like, I'm a Jedi. I'm not supposed to feel these things. But you do. But that's, you know, the whole thing with this episode. And what then after this very serious, heavy scene, there's Basil sneaking, sniffing around, and he's got Pip's head. And a brilliant moment where Basil is trying to plug it in. This goes on for a while. And then Pip basically tells Basil what's up. And I love Basil being like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't think about that. Oh, yeah, Basil might speak droid. Even if he doesn't speak English, he might speak droid, and he does.
You know, and also the work Neil Scanlon has done on that Basil head. Like, I stopped thinking that Basil is like a person in a suit. Where the expressions on the Basil head, it's amazing.
Yeah, the eyes moving around. And then I just can't get over to that they so committed to Basil, like, always walking in that, like, weird little hunched over way. It's like such a good move.
So yeah, meanwhile, Chimer is getting crazy ass buck naked. Kylo Ren has shirt off in Last Jedi, like we said, and the world went insane, and Leslie Headland was like, oh, that's cute. Let's just go full on naked. Osha sees his saber and picks it up, and Chimer knows.
How does it feel?
Don't move.
Feels good, doesn't it? To hold one in your hand again. I assume you didn't keep your own saber when you left the Order. Your stance is good. You should keep your other elbow up higher. Allows for a swifter block.
Stay where you are.
If you're not gonna join me, I'd like to put my clothes back on.
Oh, but you know what? One thing before that I thought was kind of interesting, too, though, is before she gets to the lightsaber, we're kind of checking in with both sisters. And for a moment there, both sisters have the, like, ninja blade, and they're going to kill the other sister's master. And it's almost like with the sisters kind of being out of sync, it's like every once in a while they kind of, like, converge. And it was a cool kind of with those two scenes of, like, okay, both sisters are kind of, they're one and the same at this point, because they're both doing the exact same thing at the exact same time with the exact same weapon. And then as this, you know, as the episode goes on, they kind of like things converge or diverge again.
But that's an interesting thing, because both of them almost start in that same place. And then both of them kind of in the middle start to kind of listen to what the master character is kind of saying. But, you know, it's the crazy thing. Again, it's from the Sith perspective, where Chimer's thing at the end, and this is jumping around, but whatever, Chimer's thing at the end is like, eh, there's this helmet here, put it on if you want, might be cool, you might dig it. Where Sol's answer was, I'm going to handcuff you to this bed, and now I'm going to finally tell you the true story of what happened on Brendok, and we're going to go stop your master and save your sister. But like, one master has the person, you know, handcuffed to a bed, and the other one is letting them make their own choices. But which one is worse? You know, that's the neat thing with the Acolyte, with the light and the dark. Like, what are the Sith doing? What are the Jedi doing? What's worse? What's the difference?
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, for me, by the end of the episode, I'm kind of like, yeah, kind of like this Chimer guy. So Sol's being a little weird.
But I like Chimer saying, you want to kill me. I'm beyond unarmed. I'm buck naked. There's nothing I can do. Well, that's not totally true. He could force push or whatever. But, you know, that's not the Jedi way, what you're doing.
I'm wondering if it's honorable to kill me like this. Heat of battle. It's justified. But a few hours later, it's vengeance. Now you're wondering how I can read your mind. I can't. Not exactly. Your anger betrays your thoughts.
Why bring me here? Why not kill me? Am I supposed to be your prisoner?
Prisoner? You're the one with the weapon.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the really interesting thing with the show, because, you know, early on we were like, well, you know, this is from, supposed to be from the Sith perspective, and it's kind of, we haven't really got to that yet, but now we are, and now it's, like I said, I think it's doing a good job of, like, making you watching the show be sympathetic and not, like, booing the screen because he's the bad guy, and it's like he's saying things that make sense, and he's saying things to Osha that makes sense, because, you know, she thinks she acts like a Jedi, but she's not. And as far as we know, yeah, the Jedi didn't want her and she couldn't do it. So at least, you know, maybe there's more information we don't have yet that might sway your opinion. But yeah, the dark side seems kind of friendly in this one. Like, it doesn't seem like, it doesn't feel like Palpatine, you know, tricking Anakin, or, you know, if anything, it almost, yeah, his maybe feels more like a little of Vader, kind of the things when Vader would talk to Luke, and it was actually, you know, him being honest, because there was that connection to it being his son. It wasn't just about manipulating him. There was some truth to it. And maybe this episode's kind of tapping into that a little bit, where there does seem to be a genuine connection between those characters and not just Chimer, like, trying to trick her.
I you know, it's a thing too. I'm not buying it. I think of Yoda. I think of Luke and Yoda, where Luke says, "Is the dark side stronger?"
But the vizier more seductive.
But how am I to know the good side from the bad?
You will know when you are calm, at peace. massive.
Quicker, easier, more seductive. That's this episode. She's being seduced to the dark side. It's a quick fix. It's a quick answer to the way Osha's feeling. And granted, though, the Jedi didn't help. Because if you think of even last episode and the episode before that, where she like went to Saul and was like, hey, maybe, you know, maybe I could try this Jedi thing again. And he's like, ha ha ha. And no, you're going to go as a civilian. And even last episode, when they were like civilian to the ship, I mean, we laughed about it and stuff, but it's like, she has a name. Her name's Osha. Like, the least they could have done has been like, Osha, get to the ship. Like, they don't even call her by her name because she's not a Jedi. She's on a Jedi mission, but she's not a Jedi. She's not part of the club.
And even more so than an ordinary civilian, she was part of the club, which makes it even worse. To the point where Yor didn't even want her to use the stun gun.
Right. Like, that's our property. You're letting her use it?
Which I am so happy they keep at least using it once every episode, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, Chimere is offering the quicker, easier, more seductive path. And that's the brilliant thing with this show where, you know, we've seen it with Anakin Skywalker, but we're seeing that seduction to the dark side in a totally new way with The Acolyte. And with this episode, in 38 minutes, we're seeing a very believable seduction to the dark side. And again, it's the reverse Last Jedi, where, you know, Rey could have given up on Luke Skywalker at any moment, but Rey believed in him and believed in what was possible with Luke and brought that out of Luke Skywalker, reignited the Last Jedi within himself, and then therefore moved Rey forward. But Rey did that on her own. It's a great thing with that movie. It's a really good movie if you've never seen it. It's called The Last Jedi. It's on Disney Plus. But yeah, the seduction of Osha. That's like the episode could have been called that.
It's a good show. It is. Because I keep trying. Because other than Chimere telling her to use her emotions and her bad, you know, her anger to give her power, almost everything else he says is not bad.
No, but also it's what she wants to hear.
I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to me just how narrow the distance between like someone like Qui-Gon and Chimere is when they're talking. They're not that far removed from each other. There's a threshold there where Chimere kind of crosses over, but it's very, very different than Palpatine or kind of what we've seen in the past as far as, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a trick. And I think that's what is sucking me in. It seems sincere. And if it is sincere, does that make it different? And I think that's maybe what the show's trying to do too, where it's like, it's not like, hey, you know, you need this power so you can keep people from dying. It's like, hey, you need to be honest with yourself, who you are, and maybe who you are is who I am, and we should do this together. Because she tried to be good and it didn't work. So what is she supposed to do?
That seemed like I was talking about that. The moment where they have that conversation after he's kind of like, why do you love people that can only go so far? They can't go as deep as you can. And she's like, I'm not my sister. I'm not as easily corrupted. And when Chimere comes out and he's like, you've come here to kill me.
You stayed here to do something. Do it. Turn it on.
A Jedi doesn't attack the unarmed.
Why do you still think of yourself as a Jedi? They didn't want you.
It's not true. I left.
Why?
Because I chose to.
Are you sure about that?
Let me go.
What you're feeling right now, this anger, this pain, this is who you are. The Jedi saw it, and that's why they threw you away.
They didn't throw me away.
Then why aren't you a Jedi? Why aren't you a Jedi, Osha?
Because
because I failed!
To me, it did. It echoed Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin goes to confront Palpatine.
They don't trust you, Anakin. They see your future. They know your power will be too strong to control. You must break through the fog of lies the Jedi have created around you. Let me help you to know the subtleties of the Force.
How do you know the ways of the Force?
My mentor taught me everything about the Force, even the nature of the dark side.
You know the dark side?
Anakin, if one is to understand the great mystery, one must study all its aspects, not just the dogmatic narrow view of the Jedi. If you wish to become a complete and wise leader, you must embrace a larger view of the Force. Be careful of the Jedi, Anakin. Only through me can you achieve a power greater than any Jedi. Learn to know the dark side of the Force, and you will be able to save your wife from certain death.
What did you say?
Use my knowledge, I beg you.
You're the Sith Lord.
I know what's been troubling you. Listen to me. Don't continue to be a pawn of the Jedi Council. Ever since I've known you, you've been searching for a life greater than that of an ordinary Jedi. A life of significance, of conscience. Are you going to kill me?
I would certainly like to.
I know you would. I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
But it's the same kind of thing where it's like, hey, the Jedi didn't want you. Use your darkness. It's part of you. It gives you strength. When you lose everything, you're finally free, is what Chimaire says. And it's also kind of similar to, you know, let the past die. Kill it if you have to.
Well, and she does give into her hate and ignites the saber and puts it up to his throat.
Anakin didn't put his saber up to Palpatine's throat, but he did ignite his saber at that one moment. Anakin, you know, it's the same thing too, that they have to choose. In the end, Palpatine let Anakin make the choice. You must choose. And Chimaire is like, hey, I'm not going to make you do it. If you want to put this helmet on, and if you want to go into like force sensory deprivation and see what happens, and maybe you like it, you did it, not me. It's the same thing.
And I think that's what's so neat with this show, is, and I think this is where the difference is, because Osha's not Luke or Anakin. With Luke or Anakin, it was like, no, you're making this isn't you. This is not who you are. This, you're making the wrong choice. But with Osha, it is almost like maybe it is the right choice for her. Like, and I think that's the kind of the point in the show of like showing, because it's from the Sith point of view of like, how does this happen? How does somebody become the dark side, right? And it's like, it doesn't feel wrong to her because of who she is versus like who Luke was or Anakin was. And maybe that's kind of the thing where it's like, you're not necessarily hearing them talk and thinking, no, Osha, that's not you. You shouldn't be doing this. And I think that's what's interesting about it, is it seems like she's making the right choice for her, and maybe it's not because she's going to be bad, but it's believable why she's doing it, because it seems like it's not the wrong thing for her to do, even though it might be. I don't know. This show's really cool.
But, I mean, somebody could say the same thing watching Revenge of the Sith. And if someone, let's say if someone watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in that order and did not know, like, let's say that Palpatine was Darth Sidious, let's say, didn't know that this eventually would become the Emperor, And if you were like, I don't want to see what happened to Shmi happen to Padme. Anakin is haunted by what happened to Shmi. He can fix it this time. He can stop Padme from dying in childbirth. He's had the visions, like he knew something was horrible is happening to his mother. I mean, someone could say, like, what are you going to listen to Mace Windu? Someone who's, you know, never cared about you and always, like, to look down on you?
Yeah, I think it's just in the context of Chimaer and Osha, it just feels more convincing. Like, you know, even if it's the wrong choice, it feels, in this episode, it feels like she made the right choice for her. Even if it's maybe not. And we'll find out in the next couple episodes, you know, what the consequences are of this choice. But
well, and I think, too, that there's still a lot about Chimaer that he's not revealing about himself. There's the moment where he talks about how he used to be a Jedi, like a really long time ago.
You speak as if you were a Jedi.
I was a long time ago.
I've never heard of you.
It was a really long time ago.
And he's got what clearly looked like the moment he shows his scars on his back, when he's like working on his helmet and he just like nonchalant like lifts up the back of his shirt, like check this out. And then right after that, we see Venestra on Kofar with her whip, like not too subtly hinting that, I mean, we all know that something is up with Venestra, but suggest, and Venestra is like 120 years old or something in this show, like suggesting that the person that threw him away when he was a Jedi was Venestra. But if Chimaer is actually really old and somehow looks like a guy in his 20s, 30s, however old he's supposed to be, then that's something too.
Well, and I think the thing that's neat is, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's just me, is the way this is presented is in this show is much more where I feel like you don't have the reaction of like, no, don't do it. No, don't do it. It's like, it's doing a good job. If you like, that seems reasonable. It is probably not reasonable, but it feels reasonable in the moment when you, you know, if you think about it or talk about it, it's like, no, you're right. Like she's probably being tricked, baby, but it doesn't feel like she's being tricked as much as maybe seeing Luke and Vader or Anakin and Palpatine. And I think that's great. Cause like, that's kind of the point of the show is to like, you know, put you in the mind of like, well, where, what's it like to be a Sith and why? And we're kind of seeing that even though, yeah, you're pointing out all these warning signs that maybe it's not as rational as a decision as it, maybe it seems in this episode.
Well, in the end, that moment, too, when she's got his lightsaber up to his neck, like they're this close to kissing.
Yeah.
We've never seen a real seduction to the dark side quite like this, where attraction was a factor, which is fascinating.
Dared to be
sexy.
Totally new thing.
Well, and it's also, you know, similar to the other in the way that the Jedi not doing a very good job of keeping this from happening, right? Like their indifference or arrogance in a way is contributing to this because they, you know, they don't see what's happened. That Osha's as unhappy as she was about the about her situation, and that Chimaer is seeing that and talking to her about it.
And if, you know, not so subtly hinting that Chimaer was Venestra's former student, then watching all the, you know, Venestra's, like we said, has always been kind of shifty in this show. And thinking of that, when they're watching that hologram of May and Venestra's kind of like, we can't tell the council about this, we're kind of freaked out. Like, well, why does he have whip marks on his back? Like, what happened? And if Chimaer is ageless, maybe, if there's some kind of, you know, Sith eternal life thing happening or something, then that means that Chimaire could have been on Brendok.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with this episode. They're not subtle with things in this show, right? Like, they don't need to be subtle, and they're not. And in the scars to Venestra transition there with the whip, you know, if he was her old Padawan and she, you know, whipped him for some reason and threw him out, is it that? Or are they going to, I mean, is Venestra involved with all this? Because they do, I mean, when the ponytail crew show back up on the planet to see what happened, I was so happy. It's like, all the Jedi have crazy ponytails.
Which, can we just one quick moment before we get back to the serious stuff? Can we just talk about Mog?
Yes.
What is it, Mog?
We received a distress call from Master Sol. Apparently he's on a mission in the Outer Rim.
What did he say?
There were casualties.
Who?
The connection was faulty, but it sounded like the entire team.
Sexy.
Get him back on the comms.
Unfortunately, we've lost contact.
Prepare a rescue team to depart for the planet Kofar immediately.
How do you know where he is?
I sent him there.
Oh my god.
When Mog shows up, right, and he's, oh, well, maybe if we, I don't think he should get with his hair. I was like, man, you got to be kidding. I was like, I'm really into Mog. And with the StarWars.com, the information thing they released today, they're like, he's not even Venestra's Padawan. He just works in Venestra's office.
Well, that's why I couldn't figure out if he has a tiny ponytail. Was that a Padawan tiny ponytail, or he just has a tiny ponytail?
Didn't he have a braid too? I thought he was a Padawan.
He just had a little braided ponytail. So that's where I was confused. And then the rest of the squad had like big luscious ponytails with gold rings in them and stuff. Yeah, this show, it's got it all. But no, just like, you know, they're on the planet and she's like, Mog, what do you see? What do you think happened? And Mog starts talking about, well, maybe it's Master Sol. Did Master Sol do it? And she doesn't say no. She just says that's a bold accusation or something, right? Like, so it's almost like, is she trying to kind of frame Sol for this so they don't keep looking for Chimaire? And is that because is she the other Sith Master? Or is it just the fact that he was a failure of hers that she doesn't want them to know about? Like, is it something just, you know, not even that she's a Sith, it's just she's ashamed and doesn't want anyone to find out? And is she the reason that, you know, the High Council never hears about any of this or doesn't think there's ever a problem because she's the one like hiding all of this?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. I don't like I've heard the theories that she could be a Sith in hiding within the council, you know, the corruption from within kind of thing. But I don't know. I think it's more of she knows the deal with Chimaire. As soon as this starts happening, she's like, oh my God, he's still alive. And maybe she couldn't kill him and just hoped he would die, like Obi-Wan and Anakin or something.
Also, the other thing makes it seem like, you know, you are probably, well, you are right that Chimaire's not a good guy. But after all the scenes where you're kind of like, hey, he kind of seems like he's not so bad, is when they cut to the crew on the planet and we get all the like jump scare shots of dead Jeki and dead Yord, of just like, hey, not only are they not on the show anymore, they are very, very doubly dead, and just like rubbing your face in it after you're kind of like, hey, I kind of like you, Chimaire.
Yeah. And one other thing before we start to wrap this up too, we got to give a shout out to the fact that Chimaire says pupil again.
Master and pupil.
This episode, it's got holograms, it's got Star Wars food, it's got babies, it's got pupil, it's got the big head dude sitting in chairs, it has the stun blast. It really has it all.
The little hologram, the little senator guy that's talking to Venestra, which is fascinating too, because it's talking about how some senator in the Senate wants to basically audit the Jedi. He is an Eloasti alien, which the word on the street is played by our old friend Details.
Hey, this is actor and creature performer Details from a few of these Star Wars movies set in a galaxy far, far away. And you're listening to Blast Points Podcast with Jason and Gabe. May the Force be with you.
But his name is Chewant. Named after, I'm sure you've heard of it by now, because all the LOSD aliens have Beastie Boy names. And he's Chewant, named after So Whatcha 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 Want. So I'm hoping that on the LOSD planet, if we ever go there, there's statues of Mike Diamond, Adam Yauch, and Adam Horowitz, like the prophets from another galaxy in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll get there someday.
There's a store on it just called Paul's Boutique.
All the stores are called Paul's Boutique on the planet. That's just what stores are called.
So let's talk about, before we totally wrap up, the last shot. Because Osha puts on the helmet. Chimer just leaves. He's like, yep, check it out. Maybe you'd be into it. I don't know. It ends with the spooky, you know, very Vader-like breathing that we hear Osha inside the helmet. Next week, we're going to have Sol finally getting to tell the story. Nothing can interrupt him this time. He's going to get, maybe he'll get a phone call or something.
Other than he does crash into asteroids in the trailer, right? So maybe that's going to happen in the middle of the story.
I will now finally tell you the story of what happened 16 years ago on Brendok. Uh-oh, asteroids. I got to go. But then also, are we going to get the flashback from Osha's perspective once she is one with the Force wearing this helmet? And does this helmet, is there like some, you know, dark side energy in the helmet, you know, like the old Lando comics where there was all the Sith artifacts? Or remember the Sith acolytes from the Aftermath books where they were collecting all the Sith Harry Potter Voldemort things, you know, because they contained the Sith energy.
Yeah.
Is this helmet like a bit of like Sith energy? And is she really just getting like, eh, just put it on and you'll be like connected to the Force? Or is it like a dark side of the Force? It was whatever she sees through this thing when she goes into the Force. Is it the right way to do it? I don't know.
Yeah, well, or is it going to be the thing where it shows her the truth? And in this situation, the truth is what is going to push her to the dark side. Like, the dark side doesn't even have to trick her, because just knowing the truth is enough. Because the truth shouldn't have been hidden from her. You know? Like, just because it's the truth doesn't mean it can't have bad consequences, or can't be the thing that pushes her over the edge.
Well, and I know, and all day today I was thinking too, is like, oh my god, we only have two episodes left, and one of them is going to be a lot of flashback. Like, every interview that Leslie Headland's giving, she's talking about another season. So, you know, this may not be a story that is wrapped up in just one season.
But she did say she had stuff for a second season, but she made sure that this, she didn't hold back on this one, and that she said this one ends, that it's not a cliffhanger for season two.
Well, I think we say this with every Star Wars show when we get to this point where there's only two episodes left. Every single one where we're like, how the hell are they going to do it in two episodes?
Yeah. But of all the ones we've said that, like, we, you know, we said at the beginning of the episode, we're down to like four main characters left out of a pretty big group, and there's not like a galaxy ending disaster they have to stop. Like, it's really down to these four characters and what they know and don't know and how they feel about each other. And so it feels like they can wrap that up in two episodes.
Which is great. I love that that's what we have left. Four characters, what's true, what's not, what's the light side, what's the dark side, which way do you go? How do you feel?
Yeah. Well, and just because you're a Jedi, does that mean you're good? And just because you're a Sith, does that mean you're bad?
It's a really good show. So,
yeah.
So no matter what happens next week, we are going to be here talking about it. We you know what? We try to put on Chimer's helmet, but there's no way it would fit on our heads. So there's no way we could go to the dark side. Don't worry about us.
If I put the helmet on, I would immediately fall asleep. like a snake or a falcon. You just put a bag in my head and I pass out.
That's how somebody could stop you. That's at Celebration Tokyo. It's Gabe. Just put a bag over his head.
Yeah, he's out. He'll be out till Sunday. Just leave him there.
You know what? This is a good week for you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know if you're enjoying all these crazy, crazy Acolyte episodes. And it'll help more people find the show. And if you listen on Spotify, all you got to do is leave 5 stars over there.
And check out our website, lastpointspodcast.com. And make sure you follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you're part of our Super Chill group.
Every Tuesday night, that's where really, really great conversations about each episode of The Acolyte takes place over there on the Facebook group. And if you want to support the show in a different way, we got the Blast Points Army on Patreon, where every weekend, every Sunday, we've got commentaries for every episode of The Acolyte. So the commentary for this episode will be out late Sunday. A lot of people listen to it early Monday. It's a good way to get ready for the next episode. And a huge thank you to all you members of the Blast Points Army out there. Thank you so much. But yeah, this wraps up 407, talking about Acolyte number 6. Teach corrupt. I've been taught and I've been corrupted. That's how I feel right now.
I'm going to teach you how to corrupt.
Ooh. I'm going to get in a lake buck naked and come out and talk to you. And you've got to just keep a straight face and keep eye contact.
We both are, you know, only... Oh, no. I guess I was going to say you're not too far from Lake Michigan, but you're far from Lake Michigan now. I'm still close to Lake Michigan, so... If you look, I may end up naked in Lake Michigan. Who knows?
You don't know. Hey, I could be naked in like a tub of water right now recording this podcast, folks. You don't know. You don't know.
Right. You might be walking through the neighborhood and just have like a kiddie pool off to the side of the road. And you're just laying in there waiting for people to come by. Which is probably not a good thing to do. You might end up in jail.
It's not a good thing to do. People ask why we don't do YouTube videos. Maybe it's because we're buck naked.
Let's hope not.
So, we should stop right now. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
May the Force be with you. Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you.
To be
sexy.
And people.
May the Force be with you. Ah!